Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Roy Lefferg, and I represent the petitioners in this matter before you, Stanislaw and Sophia Pilch. Your Honors, I'd like to limit my discussion, in addition to answering any questions, to the following 5 points. The January 2nd, 1997...
5 points? What's your best point? I had trouble following your brief. What's your best point?
Well, the January 2nd motion to reconsider, thereafter jurisdiction, Your Honor, and a discussion on the matter of Schar and whether or not that applies here and whether or not that was correctly decided. So, first, Your Honor, the...
That's 1 point?
Well, those are the first three. The first one is the 1997...
Well, I want your best point.
The 1997...
But if I'm not persuaded by your best point, I don't have to worry about the other four, do I?
The... Well...
Go from there.
Your Honor, the government acknowledges that the motion to reconsider was timely and properly filed January 2nd, 1997. And it asked the Board to reconsider its December 3rd, 1996 decision. In the motion, we asserted that there had been factual errors in the Board's decision, errors that the Board later admitted it had made. The ages of the children, the date of entry of Mr. Pilch, and even misspelled Mrs. Pilch's first name. But more importantly, what I believe we stated in our motion to reconsider is how the Pilch decision from December 1996, which was issued as a Board precedent, was a great and radical departure from prior decisions issued even earlier in 1996 by the Board. And I refer to matter of OJO and matter of LOG. In matter of OJO, the Board had granted...
I don't understand why any of these is a theory of relief now. This has been here before. Your effort to get review of the 1996 decision was held barred by statute. I don't see how motions to reopen are a way to get review of the earlier decisions. They're supposedly based on intervening circumstances.
Well, the motion I'm discussing right now, Your Honor, Judge Easterbrook, is the motion to reconsider, the one we filed January 2nd, 1997. And the Board ultimately denied that motion, I would submit, Your Honor, based on erroneous factual conclusions or determinations and an erroneous legal conclusion. The Board concluded some 4 years and 11 months later that the Pilches could not get suspension of deportation because they had not left during their period of voluntary departure. However, had they left during their period of voluntary departure, they would have been barred from filing a motion to reconsider or their subsequent motion to reopen. In fact, had they left, their motion to reconsider would have been deemed abandoned. They also would have been barred, Your Honors, from the first review that you were referring to, Judge Easterbrook. Now, attached to our motion to reconsider also was a copy of a decision from 1995 from the Board called Matter of Apoka, in which the Board had granted suspension of deportation to a Polish woman with two United States citizen children. We also attached a report from Frank Barnett, a licensed clinical social worker, detailing with great detail the hardship that the family would suffer. The Board concluded that the Pilches could not get suspension of deportation, as I said, because under the bars in 242B, since they had not left during the period of voluntary departure, and according to the Board's conclusion, they had received the proper advisals, they could not get it. As we stated in our brief, we believe that the proper...
Let me try a different version of my question. What is your answer to the Attorney General's argument that we have no jurisdiction?
Your Honor, I believe you do have jurisdiction because the Board did not deny the motion to reconsider
Yes. Our jurisdiction doesn't depend on what the Board's denials or its grounds. Our jurisdiction depends on things in the United States Code. There is an argument made by the Attorney General that the United States Code does not give us jurisdiction. I'm interested in your views on that.
Well, the jurisdiction, I believe, is in the transitional rules of AREA that gives this Court jurisdiction to review decisions of the Board of Immigration Appeals. The Board, I submit, Your Honor, did not deny this as an exercise of discretion.
Tell me what language particularly you're relying on.
What language in the code itself, Your Honor?
Yes.
Well, the code that I'm referring to, the section in the transitional rules, I believe it's 309, says there is no review of discretionary determinations or decisions.
Section 309 of what?
Of the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration
Responsibility. Where is that codified?
Well, I don't believe it is actually codified in the code, but it's the judicial review, and I believe it's been conceded by the government that that's where the proper judicial review section is, and that's what we brought the first action in, and that's what we're bringing this one. It involves decisions
if
of the board.
Same, if it's the same argument as earlier, we've already rejected it. Is there a new argument?
The first argument dealt with whether or not extreme hardship had been suffered. This
no,
court
the, the first time around, we held there was no jurisdiction. It didn't reach the merits, as I understand it.
Well, my understanding of the decision is this court determined that an extreme hardship adjudication was a discretionary determination, and therefore there was no jurisdiction. What we're arguing here is the board, in its denial of the motion to reconsider, denied it based on a factual misinterpretation that there were not, saying that there were proper warnings given. It's our conclusion or our belief that there were not proper warnings given. Also, that matter of Char was incorrectly decided. So that, I believe, Your Honor, is the difference here. We are saying that this motion to reconsider was not denied in the exercise of discretion, but rather was denied by the board based on factual misinterpretations and erroneous legal conclusions. So that's where it is our position, Your Honor, that there is jurisdiction. Now, if you look to what Judge Vinokur had said, at what is the board refers to page 100 of the transcript or page 408 of the record, he said if you did not comply with the order, they could not reopen their case to apply for any other benefit for 5 years. But in the motion to reconsider, they were not seeking to reopen, nor were they seeking any other new benefit. They were asking simply that the board reconsider what they felt was an erroneous decision concerning extreme hardship. The board itself admitted later that it had got the ages of the children wrong. The boards in denying saying that they could not get it had they not left is the ultimate catch-22, because if they had left, the board would have lost jurisdiction. If they had left, they could not have gotten suspension of deportation. If they had left, they would have been precluded, as I said, from this court's review. The proper warnings were not given. And even if they were given, Your Honors, matter of Char was not correctly decided. And I would direct this court's attention to Judge Browning's dissent in the Ninth Circuit, in which he referred to Char as being unreasonable, irrational, and arbitrary. There are no further questions, Your Honor. I'll save any.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Berg.
Thank
Mr. Ragland?
May it please the Court, Thomas Ragland for the respondent. Your Honor, as you recognize, this case has been before this court before. In 1997, the court dismissed the petition for review, finding that it lacked jurisdiction to consider the arguments raised by petitioners. The case is now again before the court on three consolidated petitions for review, three attempts to reconsider on post-judgment motions, again finding that petitioners are not eligible to reopen or reconsider their case. Your Honor, we urge the court to again find that it lacks jurisdiction to consider the majority of the claims raised by petitioners in their brief. To the extent that the court enjoys jurisdiction over any of the arguments raised, the standard is whether the Board of Immigration Appeals...
We may have jurisdiction, but we need not necessarily enjoy it.
Are you conceding there are some claims over which we have jurisdiction?
Your Honor, even if the court... Yes, Your Honor, the court has jurisdiction to consider denial of motion to reopen.
Denial of motion to reopen?
Yes, Your Honor. However, even if the court were to assume jurisdiction over every element of this case, the standard is abuse of discretion, and there was no abuse of discretion in this case. Specifically to jurisdiction, the petitioners request that the court...
I don't understand why there would be jurisdiction over the denial of the motion to reopen when it just reiterates stuff that on direct review of the decision, there is no jurisdiction to resolve.
That's correct, Your Honor. Our argument is that the court does like jurisdiction.
I think what you just said is it's correct that I don't understand something.
No, Your Honor.
Of course, be correct. But if there is a statutory reason for the distinction, what statute creates it? There are all sorts of irrational and wacky statutes. But I couldn't get Mr. Bird to discuss statutory language. Maybe I can get you to discuss statutory language.
Yes, Your Honor. The provision of the law that prohibits review of what the petitioner seeks here, which is a discretionary determination denying them suspension of deportation under Section 244A of the Immigration and Nationality Act, is IRA-IRA, or the immigration, you're familiar with IRA-IRA, Section 309C4E, which is codified into Section 106 of the Immigration and Nationality Act. specifically, as the court held previously in Tilch versus INS and in Skrenik versus INS, prohibits review by this court of discretionary determinations of the board. The only exceptions to that review, if the court were to find jurisdiction, would only be if there were a plain error of law or if there were compelling circumstances. The petitioners have argued no plain error of law.
What statute has anything to do with plain errors of law?
Your Honor, what I'm saying, Your Honor, is that the court...
You certainly don't say that what the statute does is it bars review of correct decisions, but it allows review of incorrect decisions.
No, Your Honor.
That's not a very... It's not a plausible understanding.
No, Your Honor. It bars review of all discretionary determinations.
Yeah, and of course, reopening is a discretionary decision.
Yes, Your Honor.
So what in the statute distinguishes between direct review and review of reopening?
Review of... I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't understand your question.
I give up.
No, I think that... Well, I'll pursue it a little. So if there's no jurisdiction to review the denial of, you know, the discretionary relief that he sought, why is there jurisdiction to review the denial of a motion to reconsider that earlier denial?
We argue,
that
Your
Honor, would be just an end run around the jurisdiction limitation.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. We contend that there is no jurisdiction.
No, you said,
I
asked you for an example of a claim here that we did have jurisdiction. You said the denial of the motion to reopen. Now you're saying the opposite.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I misspoke.
You said at the beginning that there were some claims that we did have jurisdiction over.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then you, as an example, you get denial of motion to reopen. So do you want to...
Well, Your Honor, the court...
Restate your position on
Yes,
that?
Your Honor. The court certainly would have jurisdiction if there were a constitutional violation implicated in this
No,
case.
No, not if there were. Mm-hmm. You said there's some of his claims that we do have jurisdiction. So which are they?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. It was an argument in the alternative that... If
so you believe we have no jurisdiction of anything.
That's correct, Your Honor. I apologize if I misspoke.
All right.
Your Honor, specifically with respect to the motion to reconsider, you stated exactly what we contend, which is that the motion to reconsider sought reconsideration of the denial of discretionary determination, denial of suspension and deportation. This is no different than when the case was before this court previously. It's a request to review a discretionary determination, which is barred under 309C4E of IRA-IRA. Your Honor, the court also lacks jurisdiction over subsequent motions to reopen, requesting that the board sua sponte reopen under its own authority, because as four of your sister circuits have held, there is no jurisdiction to consider the board's sua sponte authority to reopen cases. Furthermore,
isn't that a contradiction in terms? Motion to reopen sua sponte. If it's done in response to a motion, it is by definition not sua sponte.
Yes, Your Honor, that's how the motion is captioned. Yeah, the motion
you may remember the Ninth Circuit actually did that some years back and said, well, you know, there's a statutory ban on motions for reconsideration, but in response to the motion for reconsideration, we can do it sua sponte. And the Supreme Court said that's a transparent violation of the statute.
Yes, Your Honor.
So why would we even consider the possibility here?
I would urge you not to consider the possibility. It's argued by the petitioners that you should consider the board's refusal to reopen sua sponte. We argue that the court lacks jurisdiction to consider that argument. Your Honor, our position is there is no jurisdiction in this court for the claims that have been presented now previously and subsequently on subsequent motions after the previous decision in this case, and therefore we urge dismissal of the petition for review.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ragland.
Thank you.
Mr. Berg, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge Easterbrook, to address your prior question again as to the statutory basis for jurisdiction, in this court's decision, it referred to Section 309C4 of ARIA and held that there is no appeal of a discretionary decision under that section. Mm-hmm. But I direct the court's attention to, and this is the difference that I'm trying to make, Your Honors. The board's decision that I included attached to my motion to reconsider in matter of APOCA, it's in the record at page 249. And if you look at the second to the last paragraph, if I may read it, it says, after a careful review of the testimony and evidence presented, we conclude that the respondent has met the prerequisites to obtaining suspension of deportation and merits such relief in the exercise of discretion. The board, in this case, never denied anything in the exercise of discretion. It denied the motion to reconsider that I'm referring to.
As I say, now it sounds like you're just taking issue with our first decision.
No, Your Honor. Well,
What is the ground on which there could be jurisdiction now, even though we were correct earlier in finding that there is none?
Well, what I'm saying is that in their denial of the motion to reconsider, they based it on two major things. First, they said that the proper warnings were given of them not leaving within the period of voluntary departure, and I'm saying that that's an erroneous factual conclusion if you look at the record, at the record, from what the record
says. Being wrong is not a ground of jurisdiction.
If it wasn't,
what is the statutory ground of jurisdiction that might be available now that was not available earlier?
I'm not taking issue with the first decision. What I'm saying is that this is not a discretionary decision because of how they decided it. The board did not deny they didn't say in this decision, well, we've looked at everything and we deny your motion to reconsider in the exercise of our discretion. What they said is that you can't even get suspension of deportation because of how we interpret the law and how we interpret the facts. And that's what I'm taking issue here, and that's what I believe under 309 that you do have jurisdiction, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Berg and Mr. Ratner. Next case for argument is Hoagland versus Sandberg.